Is your account settled? I hope so. You ready for the Lord to come? We look forward to that. If our account is settled, we look forward to the Lord coming. I trust you have received Christ as your Savior, and if you have not yet, please talk to someone today before you go home and get that account settled. On Mother's Day, we considered a lesson in prophecy for mothers. On Children's Day, we considered a lesson in prophecy for children. Well, today is Father's Day. So what are we going to do? Consider a lesson in prophecy for fathers. How about that? Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promises that you made regarding things that you're going to do in the future. We thank you for the marvelous promise of Jesus coming again. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we can have an absolute certainty in our hearts that we will participate in those promises when we know we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior. I pray, Lord, today in this message, as we consider something in those prophetic statements you've made in your word that apply to fathers by way of application, that you would instruct our hearts and for all of us teach us something about yourself that will help us to walk with you more effectively. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember this from Children's Day? The most terrible thing a child ever wants or doesn't want to hear his mother say, "Boy, are you going to get it when your father gets home?" Remember that? Unfortunately, there are too many fathers that never come home. And many others who do come home remain uninvolved and passive when it comes to dealing with the children and their misbehavior. Well, there's one thing for sure. Our Heavenly Father is not passive or uninvolved. And biblical prophecy testifies to us as to how unpassive God the Father and Jesus Christ really are. Today we are going to examine by way of prophetic statements in Scripture how God deals with things. And that's the application I want to make to us as fathers. We need to deal with things. Not let our wives take care of it. Not be distracted by all of the potential things in this world that can keep us from our duties at home. But as fathers, we must deal with things. Absentee fathers is a serious problem in our culture. Sometimes fathers are absent because of divorce. A man walks away from his family and never looks back. Sometimes fathers are absent because of work. A man is so obsessed with his job that he is never home. Sometimes fathers are absent because of selfishness. A man is so intent on having fun that he totally neglects his wife and children. The consequences of absentee fathers is very serious. It causes a lack of discipline in children's lives, which results in a lack of restraint in the lives of young people. It causes a lack of moral boundaries and a lack of ethical definition. And children are often left to themselves and go wild. The book of Proverbs says, a child left to himself will bring his mother shame. Who left the child to himself? Of course, some children love to have it that way. And some children wish it were that way. And this is exactly what some people want from God. They want God to be an absentee father. Would you go to Psalm 10? Psalm 10, verse 6. Psalm 10, verse 6 says, he hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth them into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, and the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. There are people in this world that do a lot of bad things. And then they want God to be absent and not look and not observe. They want God to be an absentee heavenly father so that they can get away with all of their bad deeds. Psalm 94, verses 3 through 7, we have a similar scenario described for us. Psalm 94, verse 3. Lord, how long shall the wicked, triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. And then we go to Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8. And verse 12, where they declare that God is absent. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. And with this convincing of themselves that God is an absentee father, they feel the complete freedom to do all of their bad things. And it gets worse and worse and worse. Verse 13. He said also unto me, turn thee again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. They turned their backs on what they considered to be an absentee father. That's the way a lot of people would have it, for God to be absent and uninvolved. But God the Father is anything but absent and uninvolved. Notice he says here in verse 17, Then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke and to me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. God says, I'm going to deal with it, and I will deal with it in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Go over to Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 59. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 59. He says, For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done. He says, My dealing with you is going to be equal to what you have done. As you have done, that's how I'm going to deal with you. Oh, that we would have fathers in our homes that would practice that principle. That when their children do things purposely wrong, irresponsible, when they know better, that we would have fathers that would deal with their children according as the children have done. That fathers would take the infractions in the home seriously and deal with their children accordingly. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 13. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 13. He has just gone down through a list of abominations that Israel has committed. And he says this in Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 13. Behold, therefore I have smitten thine mine hand at thy dishonest gain, which thou hast made, and at thy blood which hath been in the midst of thee. Can thine heart endure, or can thine hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. We need fathers with follow through. Fathers who not only will recognize that their children have done something wrong, but they will not just threaten their children, but actually follow through and deal with it. As God says, He's going to deal with the Israelites. I remember a number of years ago, this is a long, long time ago, on the James Dobson program, this story he told about a father who was responsible for watching the children for a little while in the home, and the children were constantly misbehaving, and he was constantly saying to them, if you don't stop that, I'm going to, and then he issued some oath of some punishment that he was going to issue if they didn't stop. If you don't stop that, I'm going to do this or that or the other thing. What he didn't realize was that the tape recorder was on record. And this thing ran for about a half an hour till the father realized that this was recording. So he was kind of curious. And he stopped it and rewound it and pushed play. You know, this was back in the days of the cassette tapes. He stopped it and rewound it and pushed play, and he heard himself over and over say to his children, if you don't stop that, I'm going to do this or that. And it struck him as he listened to the tape. He realized in a half an hour's time, he threatened his children numerous times and never once followed through. He never did anything that he told his children he was going to do if they didn't stop. And guess what? They never stopped. Because the father didn't really deal with it according as they had done. All he did was issue empty threats. Well, you see, God doesn't work like that. Do you see what it says at the end of verse 14 here in Ezekiel chapter 22? I, the Lord, have spoken it. But that's not the end, is it? And I will do it. Do you think you can stand up under what I'm going to do when I deal with you? But we have every assurance from prophecy that the Lord will come and deal with man. Would you go to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10? Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 10. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 says, behold, the Lord God will come. And when he comes, how does it describe his coming? The Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. It ought to be in our homes that we have fathers like God the Father. God the Father sets the example. He says, I am going to come. And when I come, I'm going to lay down the law. And I am going to enforce it. When a mother says to her child, when your father gets home, you're really going to get it, that ought to be able to mean something. That he knows, that child knows, when the father comes home, the father will deal with it decisively and firmly. As God says, I'm going to come, and I'm going to come with strong hand, and I'm going to come and rule. Isaiah 66, verse 15. Isaiah 66 and verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. Trust me, when God comes, he is going to deal with mankind. And I want us to go just for a moment back to Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 18. Because I want to follow up with this thought there. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 18. When God comes in this fury to deal with man, it says, therefore will I also deal, Ezekiel 8, 18, therefore will I also deal in fury, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet I will not hear them. going through my mother's things as we've been cleaning out her house, we came across the paddle. It's an old Fuller brush handle. My grandfather worked at Fuller Brush Factory, and somebody at the factory took one of the brush things, didn't put bristles in it, smoothed it off on both sides, and gave it to him. So he brought it home and gave it to my father. That was the paddle. It's broken. And we've had considerable discussions as to which one of us it was broken on. None of us can remember. Do you ever notice that when a parent is getting ready to spank a child, before a blow is ever struck, that the child begins to cry very loudly? Have you ever had that experience? You're going to spank your children and you haven't even touched them and they are crying very, very loud. Why do they do that? I don't know. Do they think that if they cry loud enough, we'll feel so bad for them that we won't paddle them then? I kind of thought of that scenario here where it says, neither will I have pity, and though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet I will not hear them. God says, I'm going to deal with you according to as you have done. And all the crying out loud that you do is not going to stop me from spanking you. You get the point? If punishment is warranted, it needs to be given, regardless of the sympathetic reaction of the child. But now let's put a balance on it. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 13. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 13. I've sort of taken this word deal, D-E-A-L, and done a little study of that word in biblical prophecy to see how God is going to deal with things, to make this point that fathers, following the example of our Heavenly Father, we need to deal with things. And we've looked at the harsh side of issuing punishment when it's warranted. But now notice what it says here, Isaiah 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. Prudently. Prudence is a very interesting concept. Looking it up in the dictionary, the term here means to give attention to something, to ponder it, to have insight, so that when you can act judiciously, carefully, discreetly, and sensibly. Now, we've seen the passages where God is going to come in fury and he's going to deal with man. And he says, do you think you can stand up to my fury when I come and I deal with you? And yet, we have this at the same time, that it's not with meanness that God will deal with these things, but with prudence. Now, father walks into a room, and there are two children standing there. And on the floor between them is his favorite coffee cup broken into pieces. On one of the children, there is coffee all over him. The other one is spick and span. And the one that is drenched in coffee, looks guilty. What does the father do? Does he assume by what he sees what happened? Or does he deal with it prudently? Does he take time to ponder, to seek insight into the situation, so that he can act judiciously, discreetly, and sensibly? First of all, was it done on purpose or was it an accident? Secondly, is the one child drenched in coffee because he's the one that dropped it on the floor and spilt the coffee, or is it because the other one threw it at him? It could be anything. Sometimes, in an effort to be in control, we men kind of rush into a situation like that, see what we see, make assumptions, don't ask questions, and issue a punishment without stopping to be prudent. God the Father isn't like that. He doesn't rush to judgment. And he doesn't issue any punishments that's unfair or unjust or undeserved. He knows precisely what the situation is, and he deals with us exactly according as we have done. Remember that statement. If we are going to be good fathers, then we need also to deal prudently. We need to deal with things, but we need to deal with them prudently, so that we examine, we ask, we find out, we make sure that we know exactly what happened, and then we act. Then there is this other dimension. Up to now, we've been talking about dealing with children that have done bad things. What about the good children? The obedient children? What about them? Go to the book of Joel, chapter 2. Joel. Joel, chapter 2, verse 23. Joel, chapter 2, verse 23. He says, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed." In this case, God deals wondrously with his people, blessing them and giving them wonderful things. God teaches us that a father not only is for punishment, but a father is for blessing as well. Go over to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and we have the parable of the talents. In verses 14 through 30 is the parable of the talents. And remember, in the parable of the talents, there were three individuals involved, and each of them were given a certain quantity of talents. One was given five talents in verse 16, and one was given two talents in verse 17, and the third one was given one talent in verse 18. And we go through usually the scenario of the parable, and the one who gave him the talents comes again, and we mention those that have done well and received their reward, but we can't wait to get to that last one who buried it in the ground, and now he's going to be cast into outer darkness where there'll be gnashing of teeth. But wait a minute. Two out of the three acted responsibly. And when the man comes, notice what happens. Verse 20. Verse 19 says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Verse 20. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And because they had done well, the Lord deals with them according as they have done. And he compliments them. Well done. And he blesses them. And helps them on their way. You know, it's very easy as a father to think that you're fulfilling your responsibility by dealing with all of the bad things that your children do and punish them when they deserve it. And to stop there and not notice when they have behaved themselves well. Fathers, when's the last time you complimented your children and told them they did a good job? Our Heavenly Father will compliment us when we've done a good job. He's not just about punishing the things that are wrong. He's about blessing us when we do well. We have a God who knows us. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 4. We won't turn there, but you know the passage. How it describes how God knows when we sit down, he knows when we stand up, he knows when we go here, he knows when we go there. He knows all about us. Psalm 121, you're familiar with that. We have a God who is willing to help us. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. And because he neither slumbers nor sleeps, I know that I always have my Heavenly Father's attention. Go to Psalm 119 and verse 65. 119 and verse 65. Psalm 119, verse 65 says, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Prophecy teaches us that God deals with things. He is not a passive God. He's not uninvolved. When it's time, he will come and he will deal with man. But his dealing with us is not just about punishment. His dealing with us is also about blessing us when we have done well. He knows when and how to compliment his children. He knows when and how to bless his children, as well as to punish them when they've done something wrong. Fathers, let's see in this book how our Heavenly Father deals with us. How he deals with mankind and he deals with all of the issues that are involved. When we need to deal with the hard things, we must deal with the hard things. But let's not neglect our obedient children or forget to bless them and deal wondrously with them. And deal well with all our children to the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the admonition you have given us as fathers this morning. Teach us the application that we may go from here and do well as earthly fathers, reflecting who you are and how well you do with us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.